Perhaps most people would then be familiar with Psalm 100, and maybe you'll even recognize it as we open up there tonight, or maybe you could even quote it from memory. I know as a young child, this was one of the Psalms that my parents had me memorize, and it still is with me to this day. But let's go ahead and start in verse 1. We'll read all the way down to verse 5. You read silently while I read it aloud, but let's give attention to God's Word. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And as I was looking at Psalm 100 this week, there was part of me that said I was going to wait until Thanksgiving to preach this, because this is a common psalm to be read and sung and exposited around Thanksgiving. But it was the next one that the Lord had for us to go to, so I didn't want to mess up that timing. And also, it's important for us to recognize that as we approach the Thanksgiving season, that's not the only time that we should be thankful. But maybe the Lord can even use this psalm tonight for us so that as we head into Thanksgiving, we'll be extra thankful this year. And it's interesting because even thinking about Thanksgiving, it's a really underappreciated holiday if you think about it. You know, a lot of people, you'll see all these Halloween decorations out, and everybody's going crazy about that. And then it's like once Halloween is over, you start seeing Christmas decorations already. And that's not to say if you already have your tree up or already listening to Christmas music, shame on you. No, that's not at all what I'm saying. But just in the world in general, Thanksgiving has become a less and less important holiday. Most people, when they think of Thanksgiving now, they think of food. You know, they think of football. I didn't mean to alliterate all of these, but it just works out. Food, football, you have the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys. They're always playing on Thanksgiving. If you didn't know that, there's a ton of football games on. Pastor Byford was aware. But there's a ton of football on during Thanksgiving. Usually people turn on the TV and just kind of let it run while they get their food. Maybe people think of Thanksgiving, they think of family. So we have food, football, family, friends, you know, whatever other alliterated word you want to throw in there. But you think about it, this is usually what people think about when they think of Thanksgiving. Maybe it's Friday, Black Friday shopping, the day afterwards. I don't know if any of you are into that at all. We used to go down to Atlanta to see my mom's family. My second mom, Tiffany, she has family in Atlanta. And so we would go Black Friday shopping in the suburbs of Atlanta. You want to talk about crazy, but it was fun. By the time we were doing that, they were starting it on Thursday night, so you didn't have all the crazy early morning Friday stuff. But we always would do some Black Friday shopping. But these are what people think about when they think about Thanksgiving now. And it's really sad because Thanksgiving is a holiday that was set aside to remind us that we need to be thankful. And even going back to our history, saying we need to be thankful that God has provided us this land and He's taken care of us here. It's a very important holiday for our country. And so a psalm like Psalm 100 is important, not just because it reminds us that we need to celebrate Thanksgiving, but because it reminds us that year-round, we shouldn't need a holiday to make us remember to be thankful. Now, I'm glad we have it. I'm very thankful that we have Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. That's something you can say at the table when you're going around saying what you're thankful for. But we need to be reminded, not just this time of the year to be thankful. We need this reminder all the time. Because as we'll see from this psalm, that the goal that God has given to every single person alive is to glorify Him. This is what we were created for. This is what we have been saved unto, that we would be thankful people. We would be praising God. And you notice here in the title, most likely in your Bible, it says a psalm of praise or a psalm of thanksgiving. And maybe you have a little note next to that word praise, or in that title where it says a psalm of praise, because that is also the word used in verse 4, where it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And there's a slight nuance between praise and thanksgiving. Praise is usually just simple declarations about somebody or who they are. It doesn't necessarily mean they did something for you. Whereas thankfulness usually comes from saying, here's what this person did for me. I am thankful for that. Whereas praise could just be, you know, God is powerful And certainly that impacts us, and we should be thankful for that. But praise is a little more less personal in some ways. So which is it? It says here a psalm of praise, and the same words used in verse 4. Well, the idea here, this word of praise, and it's important for us to learn this because this whole psalm is called a psalm of praise or a psalm of thanksgiving. The thanksgiving mentioned in verse 4 and in the title here, a psalm of praise, it has the idea of not just being thankful in your hearts, but publicly declaring to other people what God has done for you. So there's this nuance of, you could even say it's thankful praise. And some of you are still confused, okay, what's the difference between praise and thanksgiving? Just know that this word has the idea of telling other people what God did for you. It's actually used 5 times in Leviticus, and every time it's used, it actually refers to a thank offering or to a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And what those were is a voluntary offering that the children of Israel would offer to God, and it was to give public testimony and say, this is what God did for me. Here's an offering to show how thankful I am to God. I'm going to tell everybody about it. It's kind of what we do often on our Tuesday night Thanksgiving service, the pastor just mentioned we have coming up, where we'll go around and we'll say, what has God done? Give public testimony about what God has done. We even do that in our hymns as well. So this psalm is really a psalm of public declaration, inviting people to come joyfully praise and give thanks to God. And you'll see here, there's a bunch of imperatives in this psalm. For instance, verse 1, make a joyful noise. Verse 2, serve the Lord. These are commands. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful, the second half of verse 4, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And so we have these commands here. This isn't a psalm giving thanks. This is a psalm commanding everyone else to come and to give thanks to God. And so what we're going to see tonight is that all people, but especially believers, but all people, whether saved or unsaved, all people should come before God in thanksgiving. This psalm is actually addressed, if you look in the very first verse, make a joyful noise unto the Lord who? All ye lands, all ye nations, everybody. It's like what we see in Psalm 150, the very last verse of the entire Psalter says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why does everything need to praise the Lord? Because God is the Creator. God is the one that's over everything. He deserves praise from all of us. So our first point tonight is going to be a simple one. First of all, tonight we're going to see that all people should praise the Lord. And I inserted here, all people should joyfully praise the Lord. Because you get this tone throughout this entire psalm. We're making a joyful noise. We're serving the Lord with gladness. We're singing. We're rejoicing in Him. We're giving thanks. We're being thankful. We're blessing His name. The idea here is don't come in and with a shallow face or a sallow face and a grumpy heart say, I'm going to praise you, God. I don't want to, but I'm here to praise you. No, there's a joy in this psalm. And that's why I even appreciate that pairing of sing to the Lord your God. We just say it's with a joyful tune. Da, 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 da. It's, you know, it makes you a little happy a little bit. Because that should be the case when we're singing to God. So the psalm starts by calling on all people to joyfully praise God. And we're going to hone in just a little bit. We're going to talk about believers especially. Because we see this in this psalm. Not just everybody should praise the Lord, but especially as believers, those who have seen the mercy of the Lord in our lives, we are recipients of His faithful love, we should praise as well. But we're going to start by seeing everybody should praise the Lord. And really what we're going to find tonight is that this call for everybody to praise and to worship the Lord, this isn't just in this psalm. We're going to see this is actually the purpose for that God gave to every single one of us as human beings. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, the very first question says, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I don't agree with everything in the Westminster Catechism or their Confession of Faith, but it's a very well-known, fairly theologically accurate saying, here are some simple answers to basic questions we have. And so someone comes up to you and they say, what is my purpose in life? And you say, I'm glad you asked. Your purpose, your chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what God wants from every one of us. And so that's why the psalmist starts by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk about man's purpose. But let's work through these first three verses here. So it starts by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if you remember this, we talked about this when we were in Psalm 95, just last week and the couple weeks before that, where Psalm 95:1 starts out talking about making a joyful noise. It's the same word used there. And it's the same word also used in Joshua chapter 6, when the children of Israel, they give a joyful shout and the walls of Jericho fall down. So this isn't just saying make a joyful noise, you know, just a clanging noise. This is an exhilarating shout to God. There's enthusiasm here. That's why I say there's joy just flowing through this entire psalm. We're making a joyful shout to God. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Not only is God deserving of our shouts of adoration and praise to Him, He also is worthy of our service. He doesn't just want lip service, He wants life service from us. And we saw this even in Psalm 95 as well, where the first half of that psalm is all praise and worship God, and then the second half says, now you submit to God. In Psalm 100, we see this too. Praise God, make a joyful shout to God, but also make sure you're serving God. And it's interesting here in Psalm 100 because this entire psalm, if you notice, all of the verbs are plural. All the pronouns are plural as well. This is a public testimony time. It's really what we have going on here at church when we're all singing together. This isn't just saying, you individually be thankful, you individually sing. It's saying, no, let's all come and sing together. Everybody come. And that's why you see there where it says in verse 3, know ye. By the way, in the King James, when you see ye, that's plural. You is singular, usually, in the King James Bible. It's helpful that way. But know ye, so plural, that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You see all these plural pronouns. Why? Because this is a public testimony time. It's a public thanksgiving time. And I say all of that to come back to serve the Lord with gladness. Do you recognize when we are here in church and we're worshiping God, there is an essence of service in what we are doing. I know we call it our worship service, but sometimes we just use that word without even thinking about it. But we are serving God. We are submitting to Him in what we do here at church. This isn't about me. This is about me serving and humbling myself to show honor to God. We are God's servants praising Him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do this joyfully. And this certainly extends beyond our service here in church to what we do throughout the week. Do you serve the Lord gladly in what He has given you in life? Or do you kind of drag your feet through life, oh, I'll just make it to Sunday and then I can worship the Lord again? No, the Bible says do everything with a heart. Whatsoever you do it heartily. Do it with a joyful heart as to the Lord and not to man. Serve the Lord with gladness. And then it says, come before His presence with singing. This idea of come is really enter. For the Israelites reading this psalm, they would picture somebody entering into the tabernacle or into the temple. And they would enter into the presence of the Lord. And it says, do this with singing. This is again why when we come to church, we sing. We're doing this with hearts that are overflowed and we're just singing out for joy. And maybe you know someone that's just always so glad that it just always seems to, they seem to be singing all the time. Maybe that's their personality or whatever, but I know people where you're around them, and without even realizing it, they've sung like five songs, and it's only been half an hour. And sometimes it can get a little annoying. But other times, if you just stop and think, you're like, you know what, that is a cheerful person. They just always have a song. They're always whistling. They're always happy. Our singing shows to God that we are happy and joyous in Him. And if we're not singing, then maybe that's a sign something's going on in our hearts. We should all want to sing to God. I'm not saying everybody should be a perfect operatic singer. No, God doesn't give us all those abilities. Some people have that, many of us don't. But we should all have hearts that say, Lord, I want to express my praise. I want to express my joy to You. Enter before His presence with singing. And so we see here these commands where we're commanded, not just we, but every single human being is commanded, make a joyful noise, shout to the Lord. Secondly, all human beings are commanded to serve the Lord in their worship, but also with their lives. We're all commanded to come to God, to enter into God's presence, and to do that gladly with singing on our lips, showing praises to God. But I mentioned here that this isn't just unique to this psalm. This is what we see throughout all of Scripture saying, this is why God created us. God created us for His glory. And you say, well, why is that important? Why is it important to know the purpose of something? Well, think of it this way. What is the purpose of a car? The purpose of a car is to get you from point A to point B, right? Some of you think the purpose of the car is to have these nice comfy seats and, you know, a convertible on top, and that's its number one purpose. Well, no, you can have a really nice car. You can even have a convertible. You can have perfect air conditioning. You can even have heated seats or a heated steering wheel. I rode in a truck recently that had air-conditioned seats. It was like, wow, this is really nice. It was during the summertime. But you can have all the bells and whistles, but if that truck or that car that doesn't move, then it's not fulfilling its purpose. And so when you take it to a mechanic, and we do this without even thinking, you know, what's the purpose of the car? Okay, well, it's supposed to move. If it's not moving, it's a worthless car. Whether the engine is trouble or the brakes are locked up or whatever, you can't use it. And so it's important to know the purpose of something, because what is a good car? A good car is a reliable car that'll get you from point A to point B. Now, all those bells and whistles are really nice too, but that's extra stuff. But what is our ultimate purpose as Christians? Our ultimate purpose, not just as Christians, but as humans, is to glorify God. And we see that many places in Scripture. John 4:23. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he's talking about worshiping, and he says that God is seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is out there looking not just for people who will put their trust in him to be saved. God wants people to worship him. That is why we are saved. We'll see that in a second. But take your Bibles and turn to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. We turn here fairly often when we look at the way that man has rejected God. Because Romans 1 opens up with a very bleak picture of the state of humanity in general. But Romans 1, it tells us that the basic sin of the world, if you look in verse 21, it says, because that, when they, talking about mankind, when mankind knew God, what did they not do? They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What's going on here? Well, in Romans, it's talking about how all of mankind is under the wrath of God. Why? Verse 21, because even though we should know God, we look at creation, something tells us there's a God. We should know God from creation. But what happens? We don't worship God. Someone that isn't saved, they're not naturally going to worship God. And Romans 1 says that's the sin that we're highlighting. They did not glorify God with their lives. Neither were thankful. But what did they do? Look at verse 23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. What's going on in verse 23? Well, they're not worshiping God. Instead, what are they worshiping? They're worshiping creation. Mankind, we are created by God as worshipers of something. And that's why God created us to worship Him. That's why we only find our purpose when we're worshiping God. That's why your neighbors need to have their minds changed and stop worshiping themselves or worshiping money or worshiping their spouse or worshiping another person in their lives. Some people even worship their pets. I'm glad that I never struggled to love my pet that much. It was certainly sad. I had a dog that died, and I saw multiple cats die. Those are other stories. I have some cat horror stories if you want to hear those later. And that was sad and traumatic, but it didn't ruin my life. Why? Because even from a young child, I recognized, no, I'm here to worship God. That's going to be my focus in life. A.W. Tozer said, the primary purpose of God in creation was to prepare moral beings spiritually and intellectually capable of worshiping Him. And then he says this. He says, this has been so widely accepted by theologians and Bible expositors through the centuries. He says, I shall make no attempt to prove it here. It is fully taught in the scriptures and demonstrated abundantly in the lives of the saints. And we could go through and we could work through passages like Romans 1, like 1 Corinthians 10. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We could work through these passages to come to the conclusion it's created primarily. We are worshipers at heart. That's why the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Why? We're adoring God through our love. We're worshiping God because we love Him. And so this is why Psalm 100 starts with this call saying, everybody come, shout joyfully to God. Come to God's presence with singing. Everybody worship the Lord. If you turn back to the book of Psalms, I'll show you one other verse in Psalms. If you turn to Psalm chapter 2, Psalm chapter 2, we mentioned way back in the winter time when we were preaching Psalm 1 and 2 that Psalms 1 and 2 really provide an introduction to the rest of the Psalter. And Psalm 2 talks about how the fact that Jesus is the King, God has established Him to reign. And so it says then in verse number 10, what's the conclusion of the fact that Jesus is on the throne? The psalmist then says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. What do we need to be instructed about? What do we need to do? Verse 11, serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice, but with trembling. Be excited, but do it reverently. And then it says, kiss the Son. You say, well, what does that mean? Is that, you know, the greet the brethren with a holy kiss? No, what this is talking about is do homage to the Son. Like someone would bow down and kiss the feet of a king or something like that, where they're doing homage. What should be our response to God on the throne? He demands all people bow before Him, do homage before Him, worship Him. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Those that do not worship God, those that do not put their trust in God, they face God's anger. We see that all throughout the Bible. And so God created man, as we turn back to Psalm 100, God created man to worship Him, to know Him, and to worship Him. And what we see here, even in Romans chapter 1, and I alluded to this earlier, but I want to give another quote from A.W. Tozer. By the way, he had a lot of fabulous things to say about worshiping God. I have a book that is compiled quotes of A.W. Tozer all on worship. It's a very, very large book. I haven't even gotten through it all, but some of his statements on worship have really helped me in my life to say, okay, Lord, how am I doing worshiping You? If this is our purpose in life, then we must be doing it well. Tozer said, I find that when people haven't found God and they do not know the new birth and the Spirit is not in them, yet they have an ancient impulse and they will worship something. And so maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, you know, I don't know if I worship God. Well, find out what you are worshiping. If we're not living and worshiping God, we will find something to worship. That's what God created us to be. A car doesn't worship something. A car is made to drive, to go somewhere. But God created us for our purpose to worship something. We will worship something. And that's why it's important for us to make sure we are worshiping the right God. And that's why in Psalm 100 verse 3, after saying, everybody worship, everybody praise and give this joyful thanks to God, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Don't worship anything else. Why am I calling everybody to worship God? Well, it's because He is the only God. The Lord, Jehovah, the great I Am, He is God. That's God's personal name there, I Am, all the way back with Moses at the burning bush where God introduced Himself as Jehovah. He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. And you know, I would never think that we would actually think we made ourselves, but some people act like they're the God of their lives. That they're the ones that are in control, that they're the ones that have the say-so. Well, no, God's the one that made us, not ourselves. This psalm gets right at the root of pride, saying, you are nothing, God is everything. Worship Him. Give joyful thanks to Him. And so we see that all people everywhere are called to worship the Lord. Secondly, believers should joyfully praise the Lord. And I really struggled with how to best outline Psalm 100. There's a many different ways that people have heard it before. But I do believe we start seeing a shift change, really. And I view verse 3 as really the hinge verse. Because verse 1, we're calling everybody to praise the Lord. Everybody, all ye lands, all nations, praise the Lord. And then verse 3, it says, in order to do that, you need to know the Lord. Know that the Lord is God. But then we start seeing this language in the second half of verse 3 and through the rest, language that is only true of the people of God. Not everybody is a sheep in God's pasture. Not everybody can claim God's mercy and His loving kindness. They can if they accept Jesus. And once they accept Jesus, they will be a sheep of His pasture. But now we start seeing that I believe He's now looking at the congregation of Israel and saying, now we praise the Lord too. And can I remind us that if our purpose as humans is to praise the Lord, that doesn't change after we're saved. It's like a car going to the mechanic shop that's broken. People are broken. They're not worshiping. They're not praising the Lord. And so you take this broken car to the mechanic shop, say, hey, my car's not driving. It's not going anywhere. It's useless. We're useless before God when we're not worshiping Him. Someone who's not submitted to God in their life and worshiping God with their lives, God says, I can't use you. You're not fulfilling your purpose. So you take a car in that's not fulfilling its purpose. You take it to the mechanic and you say, hey, can you fix this for me? Yeah, sure, I'll fix it. So you come back and he says, hey, I got your air conditioner all working. It's great now. It runs well. I got your heater working. And you say, well, does the car drive yet? Oh, that. No, it doesn't. But I fixed everything else. And you say, well, the car is still useless to me. As Christians, we need to make sure we don't get all caught up in every other good, important things in our lives. There are many commands in Scripture that we should be doing. Just like I hope you have a car that your heater works, or else you've been freezing today. Or maybe even have heated seats. Neither of our cars do, and we need to update our cars. But you know, I hope you have some of these nice extra things. But if your car doesn't fulfill its first purpose, then all these other things are useless. As Christians, we can have a lot of other things in order. But if we're not worshiping God, then God can't use us like He wants to. God can use us still. I don't want to say that He can't, because God can do anything. But what God wants is people that love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and they are working to give praise to God with their lives. Turn to 1 Peter 2:9, because I want to show us, again, why is it that we are saved? And you ask someone that, and you'll get a lot of different answers, and certainly there are many good answers to that question. But 1 Peter 2 verse 9 gives us a purpose as Christians. What is our purpose now that we are saved? 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, but ye, talking to Christians, ye are a chosen generation. Ye are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. We don't have time to dig into all of those. Basically saying, God has set you apart as His children. What does that mean? Why has God done this? You are a peculiar people that, here's a purpose statement, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know what our purpose statement as Christians is to show forth God's praises. That doesn't just mean, okay, my number one goal as a Christian is to sit and sing in church praises. No, let your light so shine before all men. But what we're doing is we're showing forth the praises of God. We're showing other people how wonderful our God is. By the way, that's praise right there. When we are declaring God's greatness and God's goodness to everybody around us, that's what 1 Peter 2:9 is saying. God has saved you so that you would praise Him. Because we're going to see in Revelation, we're not going to see that tonight, but you've seen it before where really you get up into heaven and it's just praise to God, praise to God, praise to God. And you even see this in the book of Psalms. And some people, much more knowledgeable than me, actually see Psalms 146 through 150 even as a foreshadowing of what it's someday going to be like when literally everything that has breath is praising the Lord together. When we're all redeemed and there's that new heaven and the new earth. And so you see this theme that, yes, in this life, but so much more in the next life, we're just going to be praising God. That doesn't mean we won't do anything else. I'm not saying you're going to be a little angel with your harp on a cloud always praising God. But can I say, if there's nothing in you that wants to praise God right now, then make sure you're ready for heaven. And I've heard many people say, you know, those people that aren't submitting to God but think they want to go to heaven, they may not actually want to go to heaven. They might be miserable in heaven because we're worshiping and praising, we're showing forth the praises of our God for all eternity. That's what God has redeemed us to do. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You say, okay, Nathan, I see it there in 1 Peter chapter 2 that God saved us to show forth His glory. Do you have another verse to prove that too? Yes, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We won't read through all of these verses. Really, verses 1 through 14 shows that everything that God the Father is doing, that Jesus Christ the Son is doing, and that the Spirit is doing, it's all to the praise of God's glory. Look at verse 5, though. It's talking about God the Father here, and it says that He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Why did God do this? Why did He predestinate us? Why did He adopt us? To the praise of the glory of His grace. And then you look down a little bit later in verse 11. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why did God do this? So that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then verse 14, talking about the Spirit, which is the down payment of our inheritance. After we were saved, we were given the Holy Spirit. Why? Unto the praise of His glory. So three times here, it says what God the Father did, what Jesus Christ the Son, what the Spirit did in your salvation, this is to the praise of the glory of God. And then you turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And if you've been paying attention during our Ephesians series, you notice in chapters 1 through 3, there was a lot of doctrinal stuff. And then in chapter 4, it started to become very practical. And so Paul concludes this doctrinal section of Ephesians and says in verse 21, unto Him, God, be glory in the church. What is our purpose as a church? To give glory to God. Unto Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What God is doing in the church by Christ Jesus is to the praise of His glory. What God is doing in your life, He wants to result in the praise of His glory, the praise of His name. That's why 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what we're doing as Christians. That's what we're doing as believers. So when we come to a psalm like Psalm 100 and we see, know that the Lord, He is God, praise Him, worship Him for that, we should go, Lord, that is my purpose. Help me to do that. And so let's turn back to Psalm 100. Tozer, as we're turning there, he said, we are saved to worship God. All that Christ has done for us in the past and all that He is doing now leads us to this one. And that's what we just saw there in Ephesians. He said, God wants worshipers first. Jesus did not redeem us to make us workers. He redeemed us to make us worshipers. And then out of the blazing worship of our hearts springs our work. Yes, God wants us to work. God doesn't just want us to sit back and praise Him. But God wants us to love Him so much that we go out and we do His work. Love the Lord your God. That's the first commandment. Lord, I love You so much, I want to obey You. But this requires, Psalm 100, verse 3. I told you I see this verse really as a hinge here. Because before the unbeliever can worship God appropriately, he has to know God. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You want to praise God appropriately, you need to know God. You need to draw near to God. In a couple weeks, if you were a man and were able to make the men's meeting, we talked about the importance of knowing God. Really, the Bible puts such an emphasis on that. And the reason is, if we don't know God, we're not going to worship God appropriately. We need to remember that we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. We need to remember, for instance, in verse 5, that the Lord is good. We need to remember that His mercy is everlasting. And His truth, or His faithfulness, that's the same word used in Lamentations where we have, great is Thy faithfulness. His faithfulness, His truth, His consistency endureth to all generations. If we don't think about that and constantly remind ourselves of God's goodness and His worthiness to be praised, then we're not going to praise Him like we should. We're not going to be thankful like we should before Him. One more Tozer quote for you guys. I could have done so many more. You need to read some of his stuff. But he says, and this is writing in the 1950s or 60s or something, he says, we can't worship these days because we do not have a high enough opinion of God. That is true. You look at Christians today, they don't have a high enough opinion of God. I hope you don't. But I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we should have a much higher opinion of God. So Tozer says, we can't worship because we don't have a high enough opinion of God. He says, God has been reduced, modified, edited, changed, and amended until he is not the God that Isaiah saw high and lifted up. If we would have an Isaiah-like experience where we saw God high and lifted up in front of us and Isaiah falls flat on his face, we would worship God so much better. But we can learn about God from the Bible. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. And so in verse 4, we should enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We should enter into his courts with praise. This would be talking about the temple and everything like that. This would be entering into the courts. You know, you're drawing near and near. You know, the people couldn't go into the holy place, or only priests could go in there, but they could be in those outer courts right there. You know, sometimes you'd even have Gentiles and women that weren't allowed to go into those inner courts, but the men could go in there and they could worship there. So a lot of the Israelites in reading this psalm, that would be the first thing that comes to their mind. We're drawing near to God. We're entering into his gates. How should we draw near to God? Well, it says here, we should do it with thanksgiving. We should come into his courts. We should do that with praise. We should be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? Because God is good. His mercy there, and that's the word mercy I've mentioned before, but I'll mention it again. There's two types of mercy mentioned in the Psalms and other places as well. But the two main ones you'll see is mercy talking about, you know, as a father pitieth his children, showing this compassion, even a type of pity on them. Then there's also the steadfast, faithful, loving mercy of God. And that's the word that's used here, just to help you with that. This is talking about God's faithful love to you. And we know as New Testament believers, we have promises just like that that God made to Israel in Romans 8, where it says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is something to be thankful for. And we need to remember that as Christians. As believers, we have every reason to praise God. The whole world should be praising God. They have every reason to praise God as well. God has been so good to every single human being alive. They should praise God, and they're one day going to give account before God for not worshiping him. But as believers, let us not think, oh, you know what, I'm right with God now. I'm going to go live my own way. No, God says, you have even more reason to worship me. You are recipients of my faithful love through Jesus Christ. Praise me. And so not just all men should praise the Lord, but believers should joyfully praise the Lord. And then one last point, we've been mentioning this all throughout, but thirdly, our assembly times as a church should praise God. We should be joyfully praising God when we come together as our church. If this is God's purpose for all of humanity, if this is God's purpose for believers, then we even saw this in Ephesians 3. This is God's purpose for the church as a whole. To where we come and we're coming near before God. And as this psalm says, as you draw near before God, do it with praises. Do it with singing. Do it with bowing in reverence and worshiping him. And this isn't to say that you shouldn't also look to glean from God's word. You shouldn't leave with your heart encouraged. We have all those other commands in Scripture as well. Just like I hope your car isn't just four wheels and a seat and you're putting down the road. Hey, we're moving. We're fulfilling our purpose. But you're not doing very well overall. But as a church, we need to not lose sight of our number one goal, and that's to give honor and praise and glory to God. It's a little taste of heaven when we assemble together as believers. We are here praising God's name just like we will be in heaven for all eternity. And we won't take the time to go through all those passages that do show that. Tozer said, it is certainly true that hardly anything is missing from our churches these days except the most important thing. He said, we're missing the genuine and sacred offering of ourselves and our worship to God, and to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he continued on there. But we can get so wrapped up in so many other things, so many other good things. I'm thankful for all the programs we have going on. I'm thankful for the preaching of the word in Sunday school and everything like that. But if our church loses sight of our number one goal to give glory to God, then we're not being we're not fulfilling our purpose as a church. And so when you come to church, let's come with the number one purpose in mind. God, I'm here to praise you. I'm here to adore you. I'm here to joyfully give thanks to you. And Lord, I hope I'll also glean something, but help me to at least, first of all, fulfill my number one purpose. And then, Lord, help me to be an encouragement to somebody else. We see that in Hebrews 10. Come to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but exhort one another. We're here to encourage each other. But our number one goal is that there would be glory to God through the church because of what Christ has done in our hearts. Let's not lose sight of that. And let's use our assembly times to give praise to God. So, we may finish early tonight. This is great. In conclusion, we see a lot of joy in this psalm. We didn't take a ton of time to talk about that. We could have. But I wanted to really show us really what I believe are the themes we see in this psalm. But it talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Has something taken your joy? Have you lost the joy of the Lord? And you say, well, yeah, a circumstance or something, or it's just hard to be joyful. Absolutely. There's times it's harder than others. But you know what the Bible says? As Christians, no matter our circumstance, we have every reason to be joyful in God. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's joy. One of the evidences of someone that is filled with the Spirit is we will be joyful. And I found myself even being convicted of this last week. She's not in here, but my sister-in-law, Erin, is one of those people that's always singing all the time. And if you let it, it'll get on your nerves. Sometimes we even tease her about it a little bit. You know, you're just a little songbird. But I think there's an aspect there. It's just showing the joy that she has often. I'm not saying you need to go home and annoy everyone in your family just singing all the time. They'll come kill me for that. But no, we should be people that naturally, our hearts are just full of joy. Not because of who we are, but because of who our God is. And so if we've lost our joy, then go back, even what it says in verse 3, know God. Or what it says in verse 5, we're praising God, we're rejoicing in Him, because God is good. And that's why, even for my family, when my mom passed away from colon cancer, one of the songs my dad constantly brought us back to is a song a choir sang a little while back, what God ordains is always good. No matter what's happening in our lives, we should still be able to recognize that God is good. We should still be able, even as we sang tonight, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knows the end of each path that I take. So we can rejoice in the Lord always. Has something taken that joy? Has something taken your thanksgiving? How have you been doing giving thanks to God? Maybe something's taken your purpose in life. If you were just to be stopped abruptly on the street and someone say, what do you live for? And you were to really answer the first thing that came to your mind, would it be, I live to glorify and to show off how wonderful of a God I serve? Or has something else taken our purpose? Maybe we're living for ourselves. Maybe we're living for a family member. Maybe we're living for something as silly as money. I say it's silly, but how often does that capture our mindset? What is it that we are worshiping? Have you lost sight of your purpose in life? Maybe it's even a good thing that has taken your focus off of your number one priority. But let's get our number one priority straight and then let everything else flow out of that. What is your purpose in life? Has something taken your worship of God? Maybe you're aware of your purpose and say, Nathan, I'm trying to worship God. I'm trying to praise Him, but I just haven't been doing a good job. Maybe you're busy. Maybe there's other things going on. Has something taken your worship and your joyful adoration of God? Psalm 100 commands all of us, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands. But then especially us as believers, as recipients of God's grace. And then let me just add this as well. If you've never thought about the fact that we are to submit and to worship God, there's never been a time where maybe you even wanted to do that. And I know I've talked to every one of you guys. I don't believe anybody in here is not saved. But there might be a chance. There are many people that grow up in church. They sit and they listen and they fit right in. Yet their lives are still all about themselves. There's never been a time where they said, God, I want you to come into my life. I want my purpose to be radically transformed. God, I don't want this to be about me anymore. God, I want you in my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to repent. And maybe there's a time where you were saved, but you've lost that purpose. Or maybe there's a sense that you never have had that purpose before. And we would love to talk to you and show from Scripture how you can then fulfill that purpose through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by doing that purpose. But we're saved to that purpose. And so if you've never thought about that before, we'd love to take you and show you from Scripture how you can know that you're saved. How you can know that you're rightly related to God, that you rightly know God. So, we have Thanksgiving coming up. Let's not make it just a November time when we're praising God. But let's use this message, even at this time of the year, to remind us and to use all of these reminders to say, Lord, help me to be more joyful. Help me to be more thankful. Help me to be a Christian that is an excellent Christian. What is an excellent car? It's a car that works well at doing what it is good at. We use something more simple than a car because cars are getting more and more complex. But what is an excellent knife? A knife that is excellent is going to cut and it's going to keep its sharpness and it's going to stay sharp and it's going to cut very, very well. A dull knife is not an excellent knife. Are you an excellent Christian? Are you fulfilling God's purpose for your life? The purpose of a knife is to cut. The purpose of a car is to drive. We go through a purpose of a lot of other things. Something that's not fulfilling its purpose is not an excellent item. How are we doing as Christians, being excellent Christians for God? Let's ask God to refocus our minds. Or maybe to continue to give us strength as we seek to live for Him and for His glory. Lord, we thank You that You are a wonderful God. Lord, thank You for even challenging my heart this week with this passage and reminding me just of the joy that we have in You. Lord, I pray that if me or anyone else in this room has been finding their joy or looking for joy in the wrong places, they haven't been wrapped up in the joy of the Lord. May You show Yourself to them. And Lord, us seeing You is so important. Lord, I pray for unbelievers, whether in this room or neighbors or people we work with or just people in our community. Lord, may they recognize their rebellion against You, refusing to worship You. And Lord, may we as believers shine the praises of Your gospel to them. But Lord, I pray that in this church and in our lives, we would be a people that glorify You in everything that we do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Let's continue in prayer if you want to kneel at your pew or come to the front or just pray quietly where you're sitting. Maybe you just want to talk to God in general about what we've heard tonight. But if there's sin that needs to be confessed or a wrong focus that's been there, let's confess that to the Lord. And let's ask Him to bring that Thanksgiving joy that we should have as we see in Psalm 100. The pianist is going to play. We'll just continue to talk with God here for just a couple minutes and then we'll be dismissed.